So at work the other day, we were so slow, like just awful. Probably like 150 pizzas in probably 5 hours. And
that's not a lot.
No.
Okay.
Normally we do about 80 to 90 pizzas an hour. And okay. So if that puts anything into perspective for you. So my manager, she was like, you know what? You guys got this. I'm going to run to Walmart really quick. And we're just like, okay, whatever. And she comes back with a cake, a bunch of cupcakes, milk, and ice cream. And then she proceeds to make milk, like milkshake, ice cream, cupcake, smoothies for everybody in the store.
Okay. Sounds like gaining 10 pounds.
Oh, it was delicious. 10 pounds, too.
Okay.
Still kind of constipated from it.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
much grains.
Oh, my God, but it was so good.
Oh, hey, Travis.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, this isn't a podcast about smoothies.
Or constipation.
Constipated. Like, that's part of the reason we started late for those of you who are trying to watch this show live. Somebody couldn't get off the toilet this morning.
It was me. And then my computer decided it needed to do updates as soon as I decided that I was done pooping.
Well, it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, this is episode 42. This is The Answer, Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm one of your hosts, Samus, my co-host, Travis.
He's just waving. They can't hear me wave.
They can't hear you wave.
I'm not doing it again. I already did it.
Okay. Well, he waved. Subtitle this week, so much drafting with like 10 million exclamation points. I'm not putting that many exclamation points in the in the actual show.
Just be like Melina and Obama. Just copy paste.
Yeah. Like, you know. People aren't going to know both sides of that argument, so we're just going to leave that one lay there.
Yep.
Quietly. So, shall we jump straight to it? We got a big show today. Lots to talk about. Like, I've actually put several things down. Question, what's the discussion topic?
I'm going to go close my door really quick.
You're going to what real quick? He's got to deal with family things real fast. So we got lots of show this week, troll cards, all sorts of questions. A couple of deck lists were sent in by listeners. It's going to be really – I'm just double-checking here, actually, make sure that I didn't get another one. No, we didn't. All right. But it's going to be a good show.
As soon as we decide to start recording, nephew comes home from playing outside. Right? Yeah.
Well, you just got to beat him. Just got to hit it. It's fine.
That's how all children learn, with violence.
That's how everyone learns, with violence. Anyone who says any different has obviously never.
Yeah, exactly.
So, one of the things that I think I'm going to do is I'm going to get a recording light or a broadcasting light for outside my door, because I told my son that we were going to be recording pretty soon. And he comes downstairs like 5 or 10 minutes later, kicks the door open as he always does, and is like telling me about the roast, because I made a roast for lunch. He's like, oh, brah, 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 like super loud. I'm like, what if I was like 5 minutes ago? He's like, oh, are you recording? Well, not yet. Travis is still in the restroom. Brah, 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 brah. I should just get my taser out and just pew. Anyway, this week's troll cards of the week. I have chosen a card that I think is going to be very good. It may not be very good today, but I think it's going to be very good soon. It's
Extricator.
That's what I thought, but that my brain didn't want it to put it together. Extricator of Sin. For those of you who are not familiar with this card, it is a 0/2, or sorry, it is a 0/3 for a white and 2 generic. Human cleric, sacrifice another permanent, any permanent. If you do, put a 3/2 colorless Eldrazi horror creature token onto the battlefield. So it is a you know, you got to sacrifice something, but it's still two creatures for one card. Delirium, beginning of your upkeep. If you have Delirium, you can transform him. And when he turns over, Eldrazi, control of hate or vigilance. Spend two mana and tap it. Sacrifice a non-Eldrazi creature. Put another 3/2 colorless Eldrazi into play. And he is a 3/5. I really think I like this card. Like, there's a lot of like pseudo removal right now in the format. Like, pacifism still legal. What is it? The capture in the moon is legal now. Turns whatever into a land. You have a lot of this stuff that's like locks things down, but doesn't necessarily get rid of them. Right. Where this gives you a way to like get your value back. I think this is a good creature, and the fact that it comes down early, you'd like if you're flooding out, you get this guy, blow up land, you got another dude. You take a clue token, boom, turn it into a dude. I think this guy's got a lot of potential and a lot of things. And I think that it could be a reasonable card as in some other formats where you're like doing some weird coming to play triggers also. Like, I don't know if Delirium's good. That's one of the things we're going to talk about later, I think. But like, even if you can't flip this guy over,
three mana, two dudes.
Right. Three mana, two dudes. And one of them's a 3/2 and the other one's a 0/3. Like, it's hard to kill two dudes with 5 power. Like, he's just, I mean, yeah, he costs you another thing, but especially, again, if it's like an Eldrazi token or a Scion token or a plant that costs you nothing, like, I think there's a lot of potential here that this guy can be very, very good. What is your troll card this week, Travis?
So, my troll card actually does tie in with this as well as another topic that we'll be talking about later on in the show, and that's Make Mischief. And that thing is a 3 mana. It costs 2 colorless and a red. It's a sorcery that it does 1 damage to target creature or player. And then essentially you get the Goblin Arsonist. If you guys don't know what that is, when it dies, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
I'm not in love with this card.
I am because of the draft that I was in. And it got me thinking about last rotation also. Mm-hmm. And if things are going to be able to carry through onto this rotation. And like, Make Mischief, it's really powerful in numbers.
Sure. I guess my thinking is like, it either costs 1 mana too much for a sorcery, or it should be an instant.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I feel like it's just like slightly off for me. Like, 1 damage to target creature player is great, and making the 1/1 devil is great. But the fact that it's a sorcery speed spell for 3 mana just puts it in a weird spot in my brain. Where if it was an instant, I would have no problem playing it for 3 mana, like all day. And if it was 2 mana as a sorcery, a red, like even if it was 2 red, like, it would be fine. But the fact that it's a red and 2 generic just kind of, meh. I don't know, it hits me the wrong way. But this card plus Extricator of Sin,
yeah,
could be real good.
We'll see.
Like, I generally like these Make the Devil tokens. It seems good. I know that you've got a comment down here about Mardu tokens. I definitely want to get into that. Do you want to? Should we just skip to that?
Yeah, let's skip to that and then go back to your. Okay, so, you know, like I was saying, when it came to the draft, Make Mischief just kind of like stuck out for me because of how powerful it was, at least in draft. So it kind of makes me wonder if it's going to be just as good when it comes to constructed. So I'm going to try and test that out.
Well, there is a lot of 2/1s in the draft format.
Right.
Specifically flyers. We kind of talked about it last week about in Sealed, how there are just so many really good 2-1s. But how good is that in draft? I guess it really comes down to what your matchups are looking like.
Right.
Like if you're playing the blue-white Flyers guy, this card is amazing. Like kill your dude, make a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like the green deck that has freaking, you know, X2s, this card just seems terrible.
Yeah.
I know. I'd like to hear how it worked for you in the draft, to be honest. Like,
okay.
Know what, you know, like where it shined and where it didn't. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, again, in
you
draft.
You have your draft deck.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just hit this draft deck real fast.
So hit the draft and go back to Mardu. And...
Yeah, you want to kind of burn through this draft deck. And I'll move this up. This draft deck, this picture will be in the show notes for those of you kind of watching or listening. And actually, those of you watching, I will share it on the screen right now.
So my first card that I picked was Dark Salvation, but that didn't make the cut, and I already traded it off because I wasn't really going to do much with it. But then after that, I got past the Curious Homunculus. I was like, you know what? This card, it seems really good. I'm just going to take it. And then after that, it was just nonstop blue and red. And so, I mean, really, that's basically how this deck wound up being. The Wharf Infiltrator was a huge success because it either made me creatures or I just didn't use it. But with the three Nagging Thoughts and the Alchemist Greeting, I always had Madness triggers. But then with the Contingency Plan, you know, I got Bedlam Reveler out really quick. I think the fastest I got him out was turn 4. And in any limited environment, having a 3-4 with Prowess for 2 mana is just absurd. But then, again, Make Mischief in numbers is great. And you can see that I have a Geist Blast there. And sometimes I would cast a Make Mischief twice and just kind of overrun things. But I ended up going 3-1 with this. And the only time I lost was because I didn't kill a creature. And that was my only game, or my only match loss, was because I didn't kill a creature.
So this is my question. Was it really the deck that was strong, or these Make Mischiefs that were strong, or was it this Curious Homunculus doing most of the work? Because I'm looking at this deck, I think the Curious Homunculus is what carried this thing.
The two cards that carried this deck was the Curious Homunculus and the Wharf Infiltrator. The Wharf Infiltrator, it has Skulk, and whenever it does combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. And then it also has another ability that says, whenever you discard a creature card, you may pay 2 generic. And if you do, put a 3/2 Eldrazi into play. So, I mean, the Wharf Infiltrator was basically a cantrip that possibly got other things out.
Right.
It also did damage really quickly and under the radar. And then the Homunculus, I mean, that pseudo ramp, and then it flips over. It becomes a 3/4 with Prowess that also makes, like, things cost 1 less. Right. So, I mean, those two cards, those two 2-drop 1/1s were the things that made this deck good.
It almost makes me wonder if, like, there isn't a strategy here for a Curious Homunculus deck. Perhaps also in other formats, even.
Well, like, I was kind of thinking the Homunculus with what you call it, Thing in the Ice.
Putting maybe. Those. The problem is that obviously the Thing in the Ice returns the Homunculus back to your hand.
Right.
But I don't know. It seems like
And again, I'm thinking modern now because that's just kind of where my brain has been trying to live lately, even though I'm not good at it and I don't understand all the cards. But like, you sit there, you play this thing on turn, say, three, and you keep a counter spell or a lightning bolt up or something after you've already drawn an extra card, or you use what's that one that mills two cards and then draw a card?
Thought Scour.
So, like, if you Thought Scour with this guy, like, you may hit another spell or whatever, and then you keep this guy up, you know, keep a third mana, play this with three mana. That way you can, you know, play some sort of one mana spell to protect it if necessary. And then, or potentially Lightning Bolt or whatever. Like, any number of one mana good instants or sorceries in a modern. Then this thing turns over, right? And then, like, maybe this is a Storm Enabler. Like, right. People are running the 1/2/2 Goblin as a Storm Enabler because it makes instants and sorceries cost one mana less. But that's a 2/2. This thing's a 3/4. It takes a little bit of work to turn it on.
And it has prowess.
Right. Yeah, and it has prowess. So it's a win condition and an enabler in a Storm deck. Like, I think this is a powerful tool that may see some action. I guess my advice is, if you have foil of these things, like, sit on them. I have the feeling that we're going to see something pretty crazy.
It's definitely going to be curious to find out.
Oh, how punny are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but then last pack. So this is really great because, you know, you see the three black and blue cards at the bottom.
Right.
The person to my left, he was in blue-black. And I kind of figured out he was in black when we were passing to the right, because he just from the way that the packs were looking. So then in pack three, the first card that I saw was To the Slaughter. And I'm like, well, I don't want to play against this. Plus, I need it for standard. So I took it. Then the guy to my left passed me the Mind Rack Demon. And I was just like, I don't want to play against this at all. If there's any chance I'm playing against it, it's no. So I took that. And then the pack right after that was the Prized Amalgam. And I was just like, no, I don't want to play against this either. And then once, you know, the drafting was done, we started laying out our decks, and I saw that he was in exclusively black-blue. And I just laughed at him. I'm like, hey, look what you didn't get.
That's nice. So I guess I also have a follow-up question. How did the what is it called? Mercurial Geis? Am I saying this right? The flyer that gets the Titan Strength on a...
Yeah.
Like, that it thing, seemed like a beating if you can make it work. And here you have...
It was absurdly good. Basically...
14 instants or sorceries?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's great.
Or something.
Like, unfortunately, again, a lot of these things are sorceries, so you have to play them before you move into combat.
Right,
but
right.
I feel like potential here.
But, I mean, and yeah, that's exactly my issue was, with the exception of the four counter spells and the Geist Blast, everything was a sorcery. But generally when I had the Geist on the field, I also had the Homunculus flipped. So I pay one mana for a Nagging Thoughts, bump him up, do it again. Like, if I got another one, you know, I just kept catching it. Like, the biggest I got it, I hit someone with it was, it had 13 power. I think that's correct. Yeah. I cast four spells.
I really feel compelled to like start throwing together a couple of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of using this idea with this Curious Homunculus, and potentially this Mercurial Geist right now. Like,
the Geist was absurd.
Well, for example, like, you have the, I'm trying to hit the gatherer to do what I want it to do. Like, you've got the new
the new shock that only hits creatures but grows with cards in your graveyard.
Yep.
And you also have the new accumulate knowledge that, that does the same thing. Like those four cards, right? Plus this Curious Homunculus. Like some of these things get very ridiculous very quickly. Like Borrowed Hostility becomes pretty good, I think. That's the escalate 3 instant. Target creature gets +3/+0. Target creature gets first strike. Obviously, all of these escalate sorceries, I think, become good. Contingency plan seems good. Like setting up the top of your library. Like it wasn't good in the last set, right? With the basically, it's the same spell. Look at the top five cards of the library, put any of them on the top and the rest onto the into your graveyard, right?
Right.
It wasn't good then. But now it seems like it could be quite good with the delirium mechanic and setting up these kind of spells, specifically like this Curious Homunculus, once he flips or getting him to flip. It seems very good. So I don't know. My brain is like, hey, let's throw some of these things together. Displace seems like a good fit in here. Like up to two creatures you control get exiled. It means you can do it with a hero.
I had Displace in the sideboard for people that were running a spot removal.
The Docent of Perfection, I think, is a good card in standard. I don't think he's necessarily good in other places, but I think in standard he could do some work. What's like that one? To me, it is a 5/4 for 5 with flying. And then whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you make a 1/1 blue human.
Oh, right. And then they all become Delvers.
Yes. When you turn this guy over, he becomes a 6/5. All your wizards get +2/+2 in flying. And then you still have the ability whenever you make a, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you get another 1/1. So you just make this army of flying effectively 3/2s.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think this card is a very, very strong, very powerful card in a color that it may actually be good enough too. I'm not sure.
Well, do you remember
the problem is that the Drake a 5 wizard? Mana creature down and protecting it, right? It's very difficult to do in other formats.
Well, do you remember the
Drake Wizard?
Yeah, the Drake Wizard.
Cameo?
No.
The guy who makes all the 2/2s? What was his name?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
He has a sorcery, makes a 2/2, right?
Tauren.
Oh, yeah, okay. Another Teague blue creature. Hell if I know.
Yeah, but he was, he was amazing, but then this guy comes out and it does the exact same thing. Plus, later on, it bumps him.
Well, Tauren, right? He's a 2/2 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't fly, right?
Correct.
He's a ground creature. Where this is a 5/4 for 1 more mana.
Yeah.
Then when you have 3 wizards, he turns over.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be 1/1 wizards, just wizards. Yeah. Like, there is a wizard deck in Modern. Like, and I think you could pull off the wizard deck in Modern if you wanted to. And this could be a key piece of it. Like, I would not be surprised if a certain brewer doesn't ruin this guy pretty heavily. I don't know. Anyway, I'm skimming through through the sheet here, stuff in Modern or in the red and blue spells in standard right now. And I think there's a lot of very, very good ones. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That it could work. And you could set things up with this Mercurial Geist to be a sweet finisher, I think. Anyway. Yeah, I'm glad you had a good run. I think if you would have had a few cards different, I think you could add a 4-0 deck here.
I would have had a 4-0, but instead of killing a 2/2, I decided to hit him directly in the face. And then 2 turns later, he hit me for game. But if I would have killed the creature that he had, then I would have been completely safe from, like, he would have put me at one. Like, that's how much damage was there. So he would have put me at one if I would have killed his 2/2. And I still would have been able to swing through with the rest of my crap. But that's the only reason I went 3-1 was because I got greedy.
It happens.
Yeah.
There's just so many spells in this particular format that you have to err on the side of caution, I think.
Well, it wasn't even a pump spell. I had my homunculus on defense, and he put sleep paralysis on it. He swung in for 8, and I was at 8 life. But if I would have killed his 2/2, because at the time that I swung with the 3 make mischiefs. He blocked 2 of them. One of them got through. And I could have killed, if I would have killed his 2/2, he would have only swung back with 7 damage. And then the next turn, I could have swung in with the rest of my team.
Well, you live and learn.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good first draft. Well, for Eldritch Moon or whatever, because obviously last week it was.
Yeah, I didn't even draft this last week. I don't know what was going on with my community, but I think we had 6 people show up for the draft, the Friday Magic draft, and I'm like,
should have fired.
Well, it gets hinky because you really can't have a Friday Night Magic draft without, like, we could have just done a regular 6-man draft or whatever, but it wouldn't have been a Friday Night Magic draft.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, we're not going to have a Friday Night Magic draft. I'll jump over to the standard event to practice my standard.
What you should have done, which is what we did on Thursday, we didn't have enough people show up for the Thursday night event, so we just did a conspiracy draft.
Well, again, I think we would have had the same people basically jump ship to the standard. You know, people show up to play the Friday Night Magic. They don't necessarily show up for whatever shenanigans people feel like playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about under the Travis's wanderings?
Well, just the Mardu tokens.
Okay.
What else are you
foreseeing in this Mardu's tokens list?
So, I mean, we still have access to Impact Tremors and Foul Tongue Shriek, which I know you love that card.
I do.
But then instead of the Brutal Horde Chief, we do have that enchantment again. Right. So those 3 things. And then, I mean, we have the Extricator of Sin, which is 3 mana for 2 dudes, essentially. Right. We have a 4 drop that also makes, it's a black creature that makes a 1/1 spirit. And then when it's in the graveyard, you can, I think it's discard 2 cards to bring them back. So that's recurring token. Then we have Dance with the Devils, Make Mischief, Devil's Playground, Secure the Waste.
Well, like, if you were to tell me Crypt Breakers, Dragon Master Outcast, I'm trying to think there's like another 1 drop that makes tokens, I thought.
Right.
But like you're like these cheap 1 drop dudes that make tokens, and then you jump to, do we still have a bunch of spells that make tokens? Secure the Waste is still legal, right?
Yeah, Secure the Waste, Dragon Fodder, Make Mischief, Dance with the Devils, Devil's Playground. All of that crap makes tokens.
But you also have 2 giant growth effects right now for a single red.
Yeah.
So that's good. You still have Zergo.
Still have, right? Zada.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could probably put like 1 or 2 Zadas in this thing. You have Call of the Bloodlines. is there something else that like fuels the token? I feel like there's something else that
you could always do Retreat of Emeria.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of iffy, but you could do it.
Pretty hard. I thought, isn't there something that gives like all creatures +1/+1 or +2 plus? Oh, duh, of course. The +2/+0 or +0/+2. Spell that I was going on about how much I love last week, and I can't think of what it's called.
You're talking about the Devoid one?
No, it's not Devoid. It's
the white one.
The white one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course you still have the Militia Captain. Yeah. And you have four dudes. He turns over and make dudes. Yeah, I could see it.
You also have the new guy that when he attacks, you make 2/1/1 humans. Or if he flips over, he attacks and makes 2/3/2 dudes.
That guy actually may be the selling point for me.
Yeah.
Now that you say that. Like, I really loved it wasn't a ninja. Was it a ninja? Like, he attacked. He had he was 3 mana or 4 mana if you wanted him to have haste and he returned to your hand. But, like, when he attacked, he made a 2/1.
Yeah, the assassin.
Yeah, this thing, I mean, kind of makes 2. So, yeah, like him plus Impact Tremors.
Mm-hmm. Could be a
thing. Like, I don't know if it's as good as, like, the Black-Red was last season. Because that thing, not last season, the season before last. But, like, maybe.
I think they're both going to have their own strong selling points. But I don't know. I think... I'm just going to leave it at that. I think strong points.
Yeah, I think there's a potential to make something like that happen. I'll have to look at stuff with that in mind in particular because people don't like wasting their removal spells on tokens.
They really don't.
They just don't. And unless you can... Oh, man, you also have Zolipor Cutthroat still? Like, oh, kill my tokens? Use my Zolipor Cutthroat. Or Zolipor. So you have Zolipor Cutthroat and all these tokeny type things that also go along with your the land that sacrifices things and the husk. Like, I don't know. There could be a deck there. I don't know if it's Mardu. I don't know if it's Black Red. I don't know if it's Jund, maybe.
Could even be Izzet.
It could be Izzet. I mean, I think, yeah, it could be Izzet. I don't know. It comes down to whether or not you want Husk and the what did I just say? The guy who drains life when a guy dies.
Zolipor. I can't
think of his name. Zolipor Cutthroat, thank you. And
if you want the Pious Evangel. That one is the same thing as Zolipor Cutthroat, plus it's a 2/4 when it flips or whatever.
Right. Well, but you also have, like I said, if you go Izzet, you could do the 1/1 that we just talked about. The Curious Homunculus. You could do the Docent of Perfection. Like, there are ways to do that kind of stuff with spells. And, like, one of the things that was kind of weak in the Black-Red version is the interaction was kind of so-so. Like, I was all in, right? I was all in on killing you.
Yep, all in all the time. Let's go.
Where if you do the blue, you could put in some removal-type stuff, or you could put in counter spells. Potentially you could put in some burn stuff. Like, there's some other interaction that you could put in there, slow it down a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It really depends. Like, you got a lot of possibilities. I'm interested to see where my brain takes that. I'll have to try to make a note to remember to think about it when I have a time. So I wrote down a couple of questions and I'm not sure, like, these are just things that were bouncing around in my brain. And so
I think we talked about this, perhaps, that there was a win-a-box last week at my local game store. We always do a win-a-box right before the on the midnight release of a new set, with the idea that people could win a box, you know, and then by the time that the win-a-box is over, they could take home the box of the new set, essentially. So I had this win-a-box, and I didn't go because I wasn't feeling very well. But I sat down and started going through my deck. And, of course, as we kind of discussed, I was looking at updating my Mardu deck. And like I said, I didn't do any updates at the time because, obviously, no new cards were legal. But I'm sitting here wondering if some of these things are good enough to start putting in here. So, for example, one of the first cards that kind of jumped to my mind here is Collective Brutality. So my Mardu deck is built around the idea that Goblin Dark Dwellers is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I have a lot of these things that I run that way. So Collective Brutality has three modes. Target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. Target creature gets -2/-2 till end of turn. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose an instant or sorcery from it and discard that card. All three modes of this spell are good for my Mardu deck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all good to flash back. So then I started wondering, I'm like, well, how does Escalate work with bringing it back with Goblin Dark Dwellers? So I kind of took a look at that. And according to this individual that I'm looking at here on the MTC Salvation forums, because it's not a kicker, so instead of you directly choose to pay for it, it is made earlier in the process where you choose modes, right? So when you pick modes is when you decide whether or not you're going to pay these extra costs. So I'm not 100% sure if it works with the Goblin Dark Dwellers or not. Like, you could do it. From what I kind of understand, it looks like you can, because that you can choose additional modes like this. So I need to probably ask a higher level judge or a judge that understands Escalate better than I do. But I believe it works that way, that you can announce the modes and then pay the additional costs.
I can also ask the level 2 that's here, see if he
picked it. Like, I'll probably send an email off to my level 2. But like, it looks to me like it should work that way. So you can Goblin Dark again. I'm not sure, so don't take my word for it. I need to do a little bit more research, but I was kind of thinking about it earlier today. I'm like, so if I collect a brutality and discard whatever, and then I flash it back with Goblin Dark Dwellers, can I discard a card again? And theoretically, the answer is yes. Like, kill a guy and see their battle plan for the cost of, you know, playing a Goblin Dark Dweller and looking at their hand is pretty good. Or for discarding a card. That seems like a good cost to me. I don't know. I was thinking, is that a good enough card in that deck?
Yes.
And then as I started thinking about it, the Collective Difference also kind of showed up on the radar. Target player discards all the card in his or her hand and then draws that many cards.
Mm-hmm.
Deals 4 damage to target creature or deals 3 damage to target opponent for 3 mana. Again, it's another card that is hit by Goblin Dark Dweller, right? So even if I can't, let's say I can't escalate when I flash it back with Goblin Dark Dweller, that still has so many options. Like, it's just insane to not play it. Again, because its converted mana cost is 3, regardless of how many modes you pick or whatever, its converted mana cost stays 3. So it just makes this is another really solid potentially change for the Mardu control deck. Again, keep in mind that, like, humans, like mono-white humans in particular, or mono white human splashing red is like one of the big decks currently at my area. People think it's just great. Where something like the Mardu control deck should just destroy it consistently, especially if I run something like Collective Brutality in the main, like four of these things. All right, you just played a 2/1. I'm gonna kill your 2/1. Also, let me look at your hand and make sure and see how many other things I have to deal with.
Right.
You know, like those two things together seem great. Or hey, my hand is full of slow action. I really need a Wrath, but I've got 7 cards in my hand. I'm gonna discard 7 and draw 7. Oh, look, and now I not only do I have the 2-for-1 I need to like shut you down, but I also have filled up my yard with spells I can flash back with the goblin dark dwellers or whatever. I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential here with these cards in particular. And I just, you know, it's like, what do you think, Travis? Like even this littler one, Savage Alliance, it does 2 damage to target creature player, does 1 damage to each creature target opponent controls. Okay.
I think with the Escalate cards, it's going to be maybe a 2, possibly 3 of. Because I don't think you want to, at least with the black one, you don't want to discard your, you're basically 3-for-3-ing them. But at the same time, you know, I don't think you want to put too many of those in.
I think I really like him because, like, right now it's running 3 destroy target monocolored creature.
Mm-hmm.
I think those could go to the sideboard, and these can take that slot, or at least some number. I think this could be a 4 of, actually, because giving a creature -2/-2 is, in the current environment, is akin to destroying it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not quite as good, but the flexibility you have, like, I just want to see your game plan. And if I happen to hit an instant or sorcery, awesome. Or kill your guy, or do both for the low cost of discarding the card. Seems okay. Especially if you do a little bit of switching up and put in, like, 1 or 2 or, you know, some number of madness type cards, like the one that I keep at, is it Avacyn's Judgment that I keep talking up right now? It's the 2-mana, I think it's a 2-mana,
the red madness.
Yeah, it's the red madness, but it does 2 damage divided how you choose for 2-mana.
Yeah, or X
madness, it does X. Like, that seems great currently. Like, it was one of the cards that was on my list of trying to figure out, do I want to put this in? And I think that answer is now yes, very much so.
I also think that the collected brutality could be great in just, I mean, like you said, madness, but madness burn.
Yeah. Like, I think anything, like, this is an excellent enabler. Like, you go discard 2 cards, right? Trigger 2 madness of it cards. Like, that seems great. Like, suddenly does my Mardu deck start becoming more of a madness type deck and uses things like Fiery Tempers? Because, again, they cost less than 3, even if I flash them back. You know, I'm not getting as many 2-for-1s, but then all of a sudden cards like Collective Brutality and what's the red sorcery I draw 2? Discard 1, draw 2.
Magmatic Insight.
No, that only hits a land.
Tormented Voice. Yeah.
Like, I'm using Tormented Voice and Read the Bones as my 2 draw spells. Maybe I add Collective Brutality as a 4 of, and now all of a sudden I have 4 discard outlets, and that makes me want to start stepping things up. You know, and maybe I switch, I take out the 3/4 rare dude, Kalidus. Maybe I switch out Kalidus for an Ahiri or 2, and then all of a sudden I have 8 or 10 discard outlets, and maybe then madness starts looking even stronger.
So I really need to rethink this Mardu control in general, but I really feel like these Escalate cards in particular are good enough to make a go of it. I'm just not sure to what extent. Like these white ones seems good, but I really don't want to have that much white in my Mardu white deck. Like I don't want to rely on double white mana.
Yeah.
But that being said, the ability to tap a creature to hit another thing seems pretty strong. Like, you know, kill your dude with five counters on it and also blow up your always watching enchantment. I'll take whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that seems real strong. Especially because they go in the order of being printed. So, like, if something is a 4-4 because of the always watching enchantment, you would still blow up the 4-4 and still hit the enchantment because they don't happen. You know what I mean? Like the 4-4 would stay valid. I don't know. I just think it's got a lot of potential. I would like to play with these, I think, quite a bit. And I'd like to know for sure how Escalate works in when you're doing the flashbacking stuff with like the Goblin Dark Dwellers. I need to do some more reading.
Or even with Jace.
Yeah, Jace too. I mean, these are all the same kind of things.
Same
Jace
with Narset.
Jace, you recast the spell, right? Like,
yeah.
It just happens to be in the graveyard.
And Narset gives them rebound.
Yeah, when something is rebounded, can you play the Escalate cost? Again, I don't know, because it's an additional cost when you choose the modes. So to me, it seems like you should be able to. But again, I need to double check the rules and make sure. Let's see. Another question is Lone Rider, the missing piece of the Lifelink game deck. This is one of the spells that I was incredibly impressed with at the pre-release. And he's kind of been dinking around a little bit. So longtime listeners of the show know Sun is like the life gain wannabe guy. Like, that's just how he wants to play, like, every game all the time. And a 2-drop that turns into a 4-4 trample, first strike, seems like a good finisher in the life gain deck.
Yeah.
Where the trigger is gain 3 life. Like, it seems like that's easily enough to enable. I don't know. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? Is this just a bad card? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, you're definitely 2/3 of those things. Wrong and crazy, but this card is great.
I'm crazy wrong.
Yeah. In standard, I don't know, but actually maybe, because that's first strike and lifelink right off the bat. Yep. So if you just bump him, and then
bump him, Blessed Alliance.
Yeah.
Like Borrowed Grace. There's so many things that'll net you 3 life right away.
Right. Even Chaplain's Blessing. Just out of nowhere, you're like, oh, 1 mana, gain 5.
Yeah. I mean, also you have like Borrowed Hostility. Get a and Giants Titan Strength. Again, these are the same kind of things that we were talking about before. Like, because these cards are good and aggressive, like the guy with first strike is going to win a lot of these fights.
Like, yeah.
So again, thinking about the popular decks in the format right now, you've got the human deck. It's got a couple I'm trying to think of the word here. It has a couple first strike dudes. And like 1 or 2 evasion-y type tricks with the +1/+0 and flying enchantment. But you have access to those same things. You also have access, if you want to go red, to like again, Borrowed Hostility, Titan Strength. If you want to go green, Dromica's Command. Like both of those things make a lot of sense in the format. Plus, you have access to all the token stuff. And I know there's at least one card that says when you sacrifice a token, you gain some life with the mole troll.
Mm-hmm.
So like you have so many life gain effects right now in the format. I just go, does something like this Lone Rider do it? I also wonder, is a Lone Rider a card that should be being played in the what is the Life Gain Sisters? Soul Sisters deck? Is this a card that should be played in the Soul Sisters deck?
It'd be like funny.
If you can't gain three life in a turn with the Soul Sisters deck, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you might as well just quit playing.
Yeah, like, and one of the things that the Soul Sister deck needs is a efficient game closer. Because really it only has a couple with the Sarah's Attendance. Right? And I guess you kind of have the 2/2 that grows every time you gain a life. But this thing comes out, you net three life almost right away, and then he flips over to this massive dude that is super hard to get rid of. He's colorless. He's got a bigger than three bottom, like, so that all of a sudden they're giving you a land to get rid of this thing. Like, if they can't, then they're just in real trouble. I feel like this card in particular could be standing out in the very near future. I'm just trying to decide to what degree. And then my last big question is, Delirium any good yet?
Yes.
Just not sure.
Yes.
Okay. Why? How?
Not
that easy to enable still, right? You still have to have four different card types in your library, in your graveyard. Okay, well,
mainly, Self Mill is really good right now, but that's completely different. But no, Delirium is, I do think it is good because, well, there's artifact creatures in Standard. There's sorceries that get lands into the graveyard. You have graveyard fetch, or you have land fetch that goes to their yard immediately. There's enchantments, planeswalkers, and then instants and sorceries. Everything. Like, there's so many things. I mean, it's basically the entire deck is just going to have to be a tool deck, like just a toolkit. But I do think it is good. It's just something that you have to figure out.
I said, Mike, and that's where I'm not sure if it's good enough, right? So say you have a four of Delirium card that you want to run.
Okay.
Right, just for example.
Okay,
let's say Mind Rack Demon. Now, that means you have to figure out a way to reliably get these four other types into your graveyard. Okay? Now, if you do something like fetch lands or sorceries that put lands into your discard, and you can assume creatures are going to die, but this other one, right, number four, that's the tricky one in my opinion, figuring out how to get the fourth one in there. And like, maybe if you're black, you could rely on having an instant in there reasonable, you know, like you could put in some sort of instant removal spell, you could have some sort of sorcery,
right?
You know, like I said, you'll probably have a creature that'll die or something. Like, maybe in black, it's the easiest one to get to.
Yeah, like, the majority of Delirium is black and green. And Golgari has typically always been really well at self-mill and interacting with the graveyard.
I haven't found the payoff yet that makes me want to bend my deck in such a way that I can have it. Know what I mean? Like, what is the card? Like, so I guess I was thinking, like, the Mardu control deck, of all of my decks, it's the most likely to Delirium reliably, right? It's got a few creatures. It's got instants, sorceries, lands. It's got a reasonable number of planeswalkers. Like, of all of my decks that I currently have built in Standard, it is most likely to be sitting on Delirium. But what spell... what Delirium card is so good that I want to play it?
I don't think there's a Delirium card that's good. I just think the Delirium mechanic is good.
Okay. So, like, yes and no, I guess, is your answer then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it screams like a weirdness. So I'm like looking through here. On the gatherer, I pulled up the delirium cards. So you've got Angel of Deliverance. When it deals damage, if you have delirium, exile target creature. Like, that seems like a good card. But it's 8 mana for a 6/6 flyer. Like, a 6/6 flyer by itself is fine. I don't need it to have this extra ability. I'm kind of scrolling through here. Descend Upon the Sinful. Same kind of thing. It's a wrath. Like, this was one of the cards that I was actually kind of considering when I was looking at updating my list this week. But, like, okay, if I have delirium, then I get a bonus. Like, this card is on the verge for me of being a good enough delirium card. But still, you're talking 6 mana for a little bit of a perk for something that, you know, I kind of need it to be 4 mana. Like, a lot of these things are like, they have flying now. This Grim Flayer, I think, is actually very strong.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he's delirium, he's a 4/4, I think.
Yeah, he's a 4/4 with trample.
Like, it seems okay. But even that's, I think, not quite high enough. So I'm just like waiting for the payoff, I guess. Like, I could get there, sure, but what is my payoff for warping my deck in this way? I just don't see it. I guess Whispers of Imrakul. Maybe that's your payoff for delirium.
What's that one do?
It's him to Turok once you have delirium.
Oh, okay.
Like, him to Turok's a good Magic the Gathering card.
Except in a format with madness.
Even then, it's random.
Right.
So, people hate random discard. Irritates them a ton.
Well, people hate discard in general. But now that they don't have a choice and you don't have a choice, it's even funnier. I mean, more irritating, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know. I'm not sure what the payoff is. I was really expecting like a serious payoff card for delirium in this format. I don't seem to have it. Maybe Pick the Brain?
Pick the Brain is great. I've been using it a lot just on its own. But I think, I don't know, it's Wizards. They don't want to give too much power to stuff that isn't blue and white.
Well, I just...
Do it. Disagree with me.
I don't necessarily disagree with you in the sense that they're trying to be careful on where the power core is.
I was going to yell Spell Queller at you.
I feel like... This is a seriously high investment mechanic.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And I just don't feel like there's...
Look, scared money don't make money.
Yes, it's true. Anna, what do you think? Should I just be like, F this couch and run Descent Upon the Sinfuls? I don't think so. I wish there's a payoff. The Gyrowood Dryad, great card. I really love it. It's a 3-mana 1/1 with Death Touch. Seems awesome. But in the green deck, I don't feel like there's enough ways to
make it. Delirium makes it a 3/3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems awesome.
Yeah, it seems great. Like, this Gyrowood Dryad and this Grim Flayer together, they're like 8 cards of your deck. But they don't do anything.
Don't worry. I'll figure it out for you, and then you can just praise me for my genius, and then I'll accept it.
Good. That's what I need. I need someone to be like, here's the answer. What's this? The big legendary spider. Is that a thing?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
When it enters the battlefield, if you're delirium, put 3 spiders in token in the battlefield?
Yep. And also?
Kind of like a payoff, I guess.
What's the other thing?
Pay 7 mana to lose a life reader?
No.
Is that the thing you're talking about?
It's pay 7 life and or pay 7 mana, and then they lose life equal to the number of spiders you control.
Right, that's what I just said. And you're like, yeah. No, not that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in this magical dream world...
Which I love living in.
I know, but you have Delirium on turn 5. You play this thing on turn 5.
Well, you have Delirium on turn 2.
Then all of these spiders stay alive through turn 6. And then on turn 7, you can drain them for 4. If you hit all of your land drops. Once you have Delirium.
You have Delirium on turn 2.
I don't know. I feel like it's not there.
I feel like you're not there.
I'd love to see it. I would like it to work. I want it to work.
Then I will make it work for you.
I don't, it's not here yet. It's not in my heart. Make it work for me, Travis.
And then I'm going to,
right.
And then I'm going to call it Trump and you're going to be like, hey, those are my little workhorses that built a wall.
That's right.
A Delirium wall.
Exactly what I'm looking for. So I wanted to do some Troll 101 here.
All right, let's do it. I have a great story for Troll 101.
Okay. Do you want to go first, or should we get into the reasons why I want to do this Troll 101?
I'll go first.
Okay, go first.
Okay, so Lupine Predator, or Prototype.
Right. Good card. Okay. 2 mana for a 5/5.
Right. And we were playing it at FNM, or well, someone was, because, well, for some reason they thought that would be amazing in draft, which it's not. But here's how it reads as soon as I pull it up. It reads that Lupine Prototype can't attack or block unless a player has no cards in hand.
Right.
Okay, you understand that.
I think so.
Essentially, all it's saying is someone has to be hellbent. Someone.
Right.
It doesn't matter who. So our local judge, he was upset with the card. He's like, this card is garbage and Wizards shouldn't have made it. I'm like, how is it garbage? It's not very well understood. You shouldn't have to read a card 3 times and still not know what it does. I'm like, how about you try reading better? Like, I said that to him, and this is where the troll begins. He's like, it's not that I can't read well, it's just that there's a double negative in the sentence. I'm like, no, there's not a double negative. Just because it has, and it was more, you know, me explaining things, but then being trolly afterwards. I was like, just because there's 2 negatives in a sentence doesn't mean it's a double negative. He's like, that's exactly what it means. Blah, blah, blah. And he just starts going off. I'm just like, I don't think you understand English very well. I feel they worded this very accurately. And like, I just started just going off on him about, you know, how he's stupid and can't read or whatever. And, you know, he is our judge. So, and he knows that I like trolling, and essentially, basically, you know, I've gotten everybody in the mindset when I show up of what's Travis playing this week, and, you know, people have been beaten down by me already. Less than a year. And, like, the whole time, you know, I was just trolling him, you know, just making him feel more and more stupid just because he couldn't understand that something wasn't a double negative.
You're a monster.
Oh, well.
You're a monster.
I mean, oh, no, I'll try better to not do whatever. Something. Yeah, that was my concern voice. Anyways, go on with your Troll 101.
Okay, so mine is actually like a positive trolling situation, I think.
Oh, that's garbage. I mean,
I know, you hate it. But so I do keep an eye on the Channel Fireball webpage for in particular. I don't always read every article or everything like that, but I do try to keep an eye on it. And I noticed a really great article today by BBD, Braun.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to look at his name so I remember how to say. I always think of him as BBD, so I don't know. But anyway, he talks about, he's got 3 rules to improve your game. And I think these make a lot of sense. Don't double down on dumb. I think we've all been there. He uses an example of, say, like, you let a spell resolve when you had a counter spell in your hand, and then a second spell is played, and you don't counter that one either because you don't want your opponent to know that you screwed up. Like, we've all done that. We've all done that a ton. And I feel like that is an important... Don't make a second mistake just because you're on tilt because you made the first mistake. That's what you want your opponents to do. Like, you want your opponents to be put on the back foot because of the things that you're doing. And they continue to make bad mistakes or bad decisions because of it. His second point, don't be a slave to wins and losses. Oh, I'm 0-2. I'm terrible. Oh, I'm 2-0. I'm amazing. Like, you can't let that stuff sit in your brain. So, like, for example, we have a policy currently in place at RLGS for pre-releases. If you win a round, you get a pack at the pre-release. And we had several people go 0-2 and went, forget it, I'm going home. I'm like, well, hey, you're going to be playing other 0-2s. You could still win a pack if you want to stick it out. That's the idea. He's like, no, my deck is terrible. I'm 0-2. Obviously, my deck is bad. I just need to go home. Like, well, take this time. Figure out your deck. Maybe you built the wrong deck. You know, I find that to be the case a lot, is that this is the deck I should be playing. When the pressure's off to build it, like, you'll see the right deck.
Yeah, like, just because you have 5 rares in your pack or in your sealed pack or whatever doesn't mean you have to be in those colors.
Right. Like, if the support's not there, you shouldn't be in that color, regardless how much power you have. But, I mean, it's just this concept of don't be a slave to your win and losses, I think, is a good point. And then his last point is don't be intimidated or stop being intimidated. And he goes on to explain, like, he would pick decks that he felt like better players could outplay him on. So, like, I don't know. Let's say a control deck, like the black blue, the black green control deck that was floating around at the last Pro Tour. Like, that's a complicated deck to play and get all the timing right and everything. And some people would say, oh, after playtesting it and discovering that deck, I can't play this deck. I'm not good enough to play it. Well, you need to make decisions that doesn't include that as a factor. Like, how you feel the metagame is going to look like. How you personally are going to be able to play the deck needs to be a factor, but not the factor. And I felt like this was a really good article that kind of shows you the kind of things that we all can improve in, right? Like, this is coming from the point of view of improving our own play, and I felt like it was really awesome. At the same time, these are things that you should attempt to punish your opponent for. Like, you want to put them in positions where they are making these doubling down on dumbs. Like, put them in that position. Make them question there to say, let a spell through that they probably shouldn't, and then you follow it up, and they're like, well, should I shut this spell down now that I know it's here? Force them to make those decisions. Kind of get your opponents to think about the pressure of where they're at. Like, man, I can't believe we're undefeated and we're about ready to cut to the top 8. Like, or whatever. Like, I can't believe we're right on the cusp of just drawing into the top 8. Man, I really want to just do this or whatever. Put the pressure on them. Help grab those values. I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at this article at all, Travis? Probably not.
Nope. You should know by now that I don't read articles.
I know. It's got words in it. You're not a fan of those.
Well, it's not that it has words in it. It's just that I have other things to do, like working 2 jobs and playing Pokemon Go and playing Magic. I really don't have time for
reading
extra crap.
Why am I? Reading while I'm pooping. No way.
Or read other things while I'm pooping.
Okay. I'll give you some slack. But I'll leave the link in the show notes for people who may have missed it. I thought it was a good read. It's not super long, and it kind of puts you in a good mind space of good habits to get in. I feel like
this is what I'm currently reading.
The Book of Totally Useless Information. I actually have a couple of books like that, like Why Men Have Nipples. Pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, if you try hard enough, you can make them lactate.
You could do that if you really wanted to.
Yeah, but I don't really want to at all.
Well, I mean, I would love to see your giant man nipples lactate.
I have tiny nipples.
Wait, no one wants to see that.
That's too late.
You're gonna get us banned from YouTube.
No. Inappropriate. No. These are man nipples, so therefore they are completely safe to be viewed.
The only difference between your nipples and a lady nipples was the amount of hair surrounding. Yeah,
well, that's it. Maybe women shouldn't have such hairy breasts then.
Oh, man. So we got a deck in, actually a couple of decks in this week from our good friend Nathan. And we're going to take a look. Thymian.
Oh, just call him Bobby. He appreciates when you call him Bobby Hill.
Bobby Hill. I like Nathan. He's a good guy. But to think makes me want to poke my eyes out of the stick. I'm not sure. So I had to look up a lot of these cards, and we're going to take a look at them. So the first card is Decimator of the Provinces.
This I don't feel like looking it up.
This is a 10 mana Eldrazi Boar. It's a 7/7, but it's got a merge for green, 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 and 6. When you cast Decimator of the Provinces, creatures you control get +2/+2, and trample until end of turn, and it has trample and haste.
Yeah, that's the one I don't like that much.
I have heard really great things from this particular card from, you'll never guess who.
Hunter?
Remington. So Remington went 4-0 or something at the pre-release he played in out of town this last weekend or whatever it was. And this was one of the cards that he just used to crush people. He's like, little dude, little dude, little dude. Sacrifice a little dude, attack you for 20.
And then overwhelm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I can't believe we got some more. Like, this card just did so much work for him. I don't know. This could be a really great card. I'm not sure. One Imrakul, The Promised End, which I do not like. I don't like it at all. I think I've decided.
It's okay to be wrong.
Until I can more consistently lower the price of this card to less than 6 mana, I don't like this card. Like, to me, this card is not. I don't want to pay 10 mana for this card. I don't want to pay this card. I don't want to pay for this card. I just don't feel like this card does enough for the cost. It to me, in best case scenario for me, is a 2-for-1.
Someone salty.
I've never seen it played. It's never played against me. I could be 100% wrong. I just don't. My gut says this is not a good card. Okay. I would love to be proven wrong. Somebody prove me wrong.
Do it, Nathan. I believe in you.
Yeah, me too. Then we have 2 Giraffes Masterpiece. It is a 5 mana 7/7 that gets -1/-1 for each card in your hand. But you spend 4 mana and discard 3 cards, and it comes back to the battlefield tapped. So, I mean, it's got some life to it, I think. I think there's some potential here. I don't know if it's a card for me, but it's got a little bit of action. Then some of the cards here that make some sexiness happen. Grim Flow. Player. Combat damage to a player. You look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest on the top in any order. Like, this is that self-mill guy. When you have Delirium, it becomes a 4/4. This guy I really like. I think this gives a lot of interesting potential. Four Hangerback Walkers, which we all know. Four Lupine Prototypes, which Travis just decided was also a bad Magic Gathering card.
I didn't, or judged it. I think it's a great card.
Okay. Four Mindrak Demons, which again, we've talked about in the past. It's like a big 4/5 flying demon. Where if you don't have Delirium, then it hits you in the face for four, I think. One Mockery of Nature, which is a 6/5 for 9 mana, but also has a merge for a green and 7. When you cast it, you can destroy target artifact or enchantment. This card I actually kind of like in this deck, like as the one of here. It gives you an interesting opportunity to deal with something you may otherwise not be able to deal with. So I kind of like this card. Again, I feel like it's too expensive, but whatever, take it. Two Sylvan Advocates, which seems like the wrong number to me. I think you want four Sylvan Advocates if you're going to run Sylvan Advocates deck. And one Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, which also feels wrong to me. Then we have our land base of 6 man lands, and then 5 forests, 5 islands, 5 swamps, and 4 evolving wilds. The mana base seems okay. Then we have Grapple with the Past, which that is an instant that you put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, and then you return a creature or land from your graveyard to your hand. So it kind of gives you that ability to regrow at instant speed, which is pretty good. 3 Murder, which is 3 mana, destroy target creature. I don't know why you're not playing the sorcery speed one that also can kill a planeswalker. Like, planeswalkers seem really good right now. Maybe you want to run that. And then 2 Void Shatters. Same kind of question. Meh. And then 3 Soul Separators, which is an artifact that makes a token.
It's an artifact that makes a 1/1 spirit that's a copy of the card that was just exiled. And also it makes a 2/2 zombie with power and toughness equal to the card that you exiled. So essentially for 8 mana, you make 2 dudes.
Yeah. And this card I like. Like, perhaps this is the card that may be worth having in your deck.
Yeah.
Right? So you have,
and even a Decimator would be good.
Right. But you have a 1/1 with flying trample protection from instance.
Uh-huh.
Not great. But you also have a 13/13 zombie.
Pretty great.
That seems okay to me. I don't know. That I'm not I'm this I kind of like.
You also can get like the Decimator thing where you have a no, that's a cash trigger. Never mind.
Well, but you also could get like a Hangerback Walker, right? So you get a 1/1 flying Hangerback Walker, and then you have a creature that dies. But then you have a flyer that you can like tap return and like put counters on if you wanted it. Sylvan Advocate, you can have a 1/1 that says when you have 7 lands, 6 lands, whatever it is,
6 lands,
becomes a 3/3, and then you can have a 2/3 zombie. Like, that seems good to me.
And at this point in the game, that you have the ability to activate the Soul Separator, you're probably already going to have 6 lands.
Well, perhaps. Like,
it's probably Nathan,
thing to do.
Nathan, you'd be really great in this deck. The Spider.
The Spider could potentially be good in this deck. Oh, no. I think some of these things are wrong. And I get it. Like, he's trying to set up the self mill that we were kind of talking about before, right? Like, the self mill with the payoff, and the payoff in this case is the Soul Separator.
Well, see, okay, so obviously the Delirium and the self mill are going to go hand in hand, but I was kind of like, you know, like throwing it around, trying to figure it out, and like, honestly, the self-mill deck is going to be, in my opinion, is going to have to be like heavy enchantment so you can get the multiple triggers every turn and then multiple effects, but then also have ways to bring it back. Like, I'm thinking black green enchantments.
I'm thinking. I'm trying to put together the mental puzzle here that is this deck.
Okay, so like Crop Sigil.
Right. Crop Sigil is the first thing I'm thinking of. But I don't think I'd run anything besides the Crop Sigil. Maybe the one that you can sacrifice for two mana.
Well, I was thinking Crop Sigils, the Vessels.
Right, the Green Vessel.
The Retreats, both black and green.
Well, how do they... They don't do anything.
Let me get to it.
Okay.
Okay. And then also the Autumn Gloom, which that's the one that turns into the 4/4 Trample and Hexproof. But, well, Delirium won't really affect it, so... In this deck, no. But then, also, Ulvenwald Mysteries. So if you're milling yourself every turn, then you have the potential to get creatures into play. And then the only non-creatures in the deck, in my opinion, would be... or the only non-enchantments.
I was gonna say, other than like these 17 or 18 enchantments...
Yeah, okay, so the only non-enchantments, I realized what I said afterwards, would be the Gitrog monster.
Okay.
And the sorcery that puts all your lands into play tapped from the graveyard. So you just mill yourself out, have a bunch of your lands in the yard, and then... Just blow everyone out of the water by, you know, life gain and have them.
So this is Azban?
Yeah.
And runs the land or the enchantment that brings back enchantments?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how this wins. I don't know. I don't think so.
Why does everything have to be about winning with you? What did BBB did you say?
He said, don't focus on being a loser.
No,
but still win.
You said that he said, don't focus on your win-loss record. Have right, fun and piss record. People off.
On your record. But you still have to win the game.
I think
that's the point of Magic the Gathering, is to win the game.
I think winning comes best when your opponents are on tilt.
It does, but...
See, like, glad you agreed. You don't want to set up your
opponent like the next round to auto lose. You want them to start winning after you crush them.
No,
I think there's a shell here. Like, I think you guys have a lot of the right thought process. Where you have these good, efficient green black creatures that do things like the self-milling type situations or whatever. But I think what we're missing on is when you go three colors like this, you can't have your three colors be equally split. Like, it just almost never works out that way. So he's got double green, double blue, double black spells in this deck. I think you need to kind of narrow your focus a little bit. I like the Decimator of the Provinces. I really like the Sylvan Advocates. I really like the Grim Flayer. I really think I like the 1/1 that turns into a 3/3 when you're delirious. I think there's a potential here to make this deck go. And it could use the Decimator of Provinces. I kind of like Hangerback Walk in this deck. I don't think I like the Lupine Prototype. Maybe it's fine, but I just don't feel it. I definitely don't like Immercool. I don't think I like Ulamog. But maybe you need that big fatty for the Soul Separator. I'm not sure. Because Decimator of the Provinces is a cast trigger. If it wasn't a cast trigger and you can activate it with the Soul Separator, it'd be sweet. I don't know. I also don't like the Void Shatter. I don't think. Could be something that happens in the sideboard. I don't know. I need to kick it around some more. We also have one other deck that Nathan sent in. And this was a while ago, so maybe he didn't intend for us to talk about this one anymore. I don't know. But it is 4 Altered Egos, which I already like, 3 Drowner of Hope, 4 Reality Reshapers, 2 Reality Smashers, 4 Sylvan Advocates, 4 Tireless Trackers, 3 Eldrix Evolution, 1 Traverse the Ovenwald, 3 Oath of Nyssa, 2 Liliana the Last Hope, 2 Obnixilis Reignited, 4 Murders, and then a pretty reasonable land base. I like this deck a hell of a lot, I think.
You know what goes really well with Drowner of Hopes? Mirror Pool. Trust me, it does.
I can see that. So, like, what I want to do with this deck, right, is I want to twist it just a little bit. I don't think you need the Planeswalkers in this deck. I think you're looking for... Oh, did I just close it? I think you're looking for the Elder... Oh, shit. What is the guy who, when he comes into play, he taps 4 of your dudes?
Elder Deep Fiend?
Yeah, I think you want the Elder Deep Fiend in here instead of the Drowner of Hopes.
You know what else he wants in there?
Mattery Shapers. He eats your Mattery Shapers. Like, it locks them out of their turn. Like, it seems like a great card to me.
I think he also wants Dispatch.
Which one's Dispatch?
One where you isn't that the one where you exile 2 of your creatures and they come back into play at the end of turn?
Oh yeah, yeah. The green instant or the blue instant.
Yeah. You know how great that is with the Elder Deep Fiend and the Drowner of Hope?
Well, Drowner of Hope is a come into play trigger. Elder Deep Fiend is a cast trigger.
Oh. You know how great that is with Drowner of Hope?
There you go. I think you cut the Drowner Hopes, or maybe you just go down to 1, and you put in 2 of the Elder Fiend.
Go up to 4.
Yeah, I like Drowner of Hope, don't get me wrong, but unless you have more ways to make Eldrazi the Scions, I don't think it's enough. You know what I mean? Like, if you had some way to, like, make more, I would be on board. But I just don't see it. And this is one of those decks that's more of the green, blue, and it kind of works really nicely, where you could get away from the black. Like, you do not need Liliana's or Obnixilis's in this deck.
Or the oaths.
Do away with. I mean, yes, you could get away with taking the oath out as well, and you could also take out the murder for like fight cards. Like, I feel like you could do this without the Planeswalkers. I know he has these Planeswalkers, and he's really excited to play them, which is why they're probably in here. But I think there's so many really, really, really good, efficient, cheap cards right now that you can turn around and feed to the Elder Fiends. That Elder Fiend is just such a brutal beating. Like, all right. turn four. I'm going to sacrifice my 3/3, and you're going to skip your turn.
All right, Nathan, here's what you do if you want to play the black Planeswalkers. You go black-white, and you get the Lily, you get the Obnixilis, you get Sorin, and you get Gideon. Then you play the 6 mana where you look at the top 7, and then you can put 2 of those Planeswalkers into play. Other than that, you just have a bunch of removal. Because nothing makes your opponents happier than them not being able to do stuff. And then just because it irritates Samus, play Emrakul.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I really feel like if you want to build the Planeswalker deck, build the Planeswalker deck. If you want to build like the sweet... green white deck, play the sweet green white deck. Like, you still have Bounding Krakus, you still have I'm trying to think of something else off the top of my head. Like, there's a bunch of instant speed dudes that do things. Like, there's that colorless 3/3 one And when it comes into play, you can spend an extra mana and make a 1/1 if you wanted. Like, you have these good creatures that you can play that have these additional effects that just come in and crush your opponent when you do things. I don't know. I'm gonna look at this some more. I really think that there's something here. And maybe this is also a deck that you find a little bit of wiggle room for more. Man, that's a big yawn. More sorceries or instants or something. And this is a deck that can run Jace's. I'm not sure. Oh God, how great would it be to play Living Lore with like some sweet instants or sorceries with these sacrifice effects?
What's Living Lore do again?
When it enters the battlefield, exile an instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. Its power and toughness are equal to the exile card's converted mana cost. When Living Lore deals combat damage, you may sacrifice it. If you do, you may cast the exile card without paying its mana cost. I thought this was a sacrifice trigger, or a die trigger, not a combat damage trigger. Yeah. That's less good. Mizzlium Meddler. Great. Yes. Right now. Right? Like, it's a flash dude. It's a 1/4. Like, you can turn around and sacrifice it all day. Who cares? There's also the dragon that says when you sacrifice something, you get... Oh! Possess Scab. Regrow sweet instants or sorceries or creatures from your graveyard. Another thing that comes into play, does its job, and then it can die. Who cares? Prize. Oh, that's a black card. So I guess that Prize Scab's also a black card. Profaner the Dead. Ruthless Dead Frang. When you sacrifice a creature, your opponent sacrifices a creature. Like, if you're going to be going Sultai with this sacrifice mechanic, like, you could go crazy. Like, it really, I think there's a really strong sacrifice deck right now. And I don't know what else to say. It seems very, very good. You have so many really good green creatures right now as well. Like, I don't know why you're hung up in certain places. Also, speaking of sacrifice real quick, have you, and Spellqueller, did you read Travis?
Yeah.
Did you notice that it breaks the rules that they decided they were going to do?
I don't know. What rules did they decide on first?
They're not supposed to have abilities that permanently exile things now with the trick. So this is another one of the cards that has the return trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do something like blink this card with the first trigger on the stack, the spell never comes back.
Huh.
You know, like they adjusted their spells, right?
Hold on a minute.
Everything so that doesn't happen. Yeah, all right. So he's yelling at family. So yeah, this is... I think this is a
I
really...
I did say hold on a couple times, so...
I know you did, but I was feeling dead air. So you could talk to your family.
Well, I'm back now.
All right, awesome. I was just trying to fill the dead air so I don't have to edit.
Well, that's too bad. You're going to anyways.
No, I'm not. I'm just going to leave this in.
Really? What if I just go on a rant of just cussing?
Well, then I'll probably have to edit.
Sucker.
It's pretty unlikely. Because you're a good boy. You're a good boy, Travis. You're a good boy. So yeah, Spellqueller, you can permanently exile things.
Cool.
Yeah, they broke that rule, which is good. I have a lot of hope they're going to continue to break that rule. Anyway, I don't know. I like this deck. I think this deck is a lot stronger than the some of the previous ones. I think this is also a deck where you run that Decimator. Like, the Decimator and the Tap Guy both go really good in this deck. So, I don't know. It's pretty sweet. We need to play a game.
Yeah.
I don't know what game to play. What I really want to do is, I forget what they're called, where you like take a phrase and you like replace like the nouns and stuff with other nouns.
Ad lib?
Yeah. Mad lib.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not good at these things.
All right. I will go to the gatherer and I will find a card. And I assume we're going off of the, yeah. Are we going to go off of,
flavor text or something?
Okay. Let's go off flavor text then.
Okay.
Where's the random card? There it is. Man, if you would have given me like a 10-minute heads up, I would have. We can't do a Mad Lib without me having like, so I can mess up the whole thing.
I really want to do something around the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know. Maybe next time. Let's see. I tell you what. This is what I'm going to do. While you are fiddling with that, I'm going to deal with the signed offs. First of all, samusgrobo.com. That's where all the shows go. That's where the show notes are. Please check us out. twotrollsbrew@gmail.com. The number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com is how you can send us an email. That's where we get these deck lists and et cetera from. Please, if you'd like to be part of the show, that is the easiest, best way to do so. Twitter.com/SamusGurobo, all one word, SamusGurobo. Twitter.com/TurtlePower, the number is 319, how to get a hold of Travis. We also appreciate things there. Twitch.tv/SamusGurobo, I stream every single day, variety of games. Please check that out, I appreciate it. And most importantly, if you would like to watch the show and kind of see how Travis and I make weird faces, or Travis's 14-minute long yawns, or how I'm itching my balls, or whatever, youtube.com/SamusGurobo. All of the Hangouts that we use to put the show together are there, starting probably 3 or 4 episodes back, maybe 6 now, I don't know. But I like doing it this way. I like the idea of having the video podcast, and then a couple days later, the just audio podcast comes out. So if you would like to get a hold of it earlier, that is the best way to do so. Travis, anything else that you want to add? Are you ready to play the game?
I am almost ready. I'm almost done with the sentence.
Almost ready. All right. I can kill another minute or two.
All right.
How about that local sports team?
There are none here, except for the hockey team.
Oh, man. I'm kind of jealous now. I didn't know you had a hockey team there.
Yep.
Man, I feel like what I should do is talk about another Magic the Gathering card while I'm killing more time. Yeah, I just don't know. I want to look at more of the... Maybe I should just discuss Nathan's deck just a little bit more.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
I need a noun.
Magic card. That's a noun, right?
Yeah. Okay, now another noun.
Iron Man.
All right, now an adjective.
Amazing.
All right, and an adverb.
My brain is melting. What's an adverb?
It describes an adjective.
That's what I was thinking. Superfluous? Lee? Superfluously? Yeah, that'll
superfluous
work.
Superfluous works, yeah.
I was trying to like make sure that the text was right.
Right. Okay. Keep going. Okay. Another noun.
Jersey, like a hockey jersey, because we're just talking about hockey. All man, right. I want a hockey jersey now. Magic the Gathering on it, like
another noun.
Niv-Mizzet. No, that's a proper noun.
It's fine.
Okay. We can do a proper noun there?
Yeah.
All right. Niv-Mizzet.
Verb?
Wang. Come on. Have you never Wang?
No. What is...
let's see. Dance.
All right. And then a noun.
Fandango. I think that's
right.
That's a noun, right?
Yep.
A fandango?
Yep. All right. It's a thing. All right. So this quote is from Sisse, captain of the Weatherlight.
Okay.
Okay. Once a Magikarp asked why Iron Man was so amazing when the day was superfluous. I told him of the sky blue hide of the jersey, and he offered me a double if Niv-Mizzet could dance a strong fandango.
Gee, Christmas. You gotta tweet that now.
That's like a thought that comes out of Joe's head.
That's crazy. Facebook that. That's great. All right, everybody.
If you're wondering, that card is Cerulean Wyvern.
Cerulean Wyvern?
Yeah, whatever. I will post it at the bottom of the show notes.
Awesome. That's beautiful. All right, everybody. With that, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. I know we gone a little long today, but you know, it's a special episode. Episode number 42 doesn't come around all that often. And so long, and thanks for all the fish.
I just realized why you wanted to make it into a reference for it. Episode 42, dang it.
Man. So controlled the whole episode?
Wow. I didn't realize it was episode 42.
Sucks to be you, brother.
Yep.
Troll on?
Troll on.